Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted to be back on our study in the Word of God on tonight. I just give God all the praise and glory and honor tonight. We're going to get ready to have just a short devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer, and then I'm going to start reading. Scripture reading will come from Psalms 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at the right hand shall strike through kings in the days of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the hills over many countries. He shall drink the brook of the brook in the way there. Therefore shall he lift up the head. I have just read you from Psalms 110, from the first verse to the 10th verse, 7th verse. May God richly add a blessing. Here is the readers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. We're going to get ready for a song right quick, though. Yeah. We come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I confess, I repent, I ask for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we just come tonight, God, asking you to let me decrease, Deborah, and let the Holy Ghost increase and minister to us on tonight. Father, I ask you right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to move me, God, from this flesh, God, that the Holy Spirit may take over and take control. Lord, I need you to open up our understanding, open up our mind, God, in our heart, that we may receive your word just like it come, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you right now, God, for this word, God. We thank you. Thank you for teaching us, Holy Spirit. We just give you glory on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, I bind up the strong man. I bind up every kind of strong man. I bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every medium, every psychic, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is canceled right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just give you glory on tonight. I thank you, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, God. I just give you glory, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. It's for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to get ready to start reading because we got, let me see. It's not bad. Chapter 6. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was filling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, at last, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warred not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. Telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. He thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servants of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, at last, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round and about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the words of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he set them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth piece of dove dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help me, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we may eat my son tomorrow." So we bore my son, eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, "Give thy son that we may eat him." And she had hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, "God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, and he said to the elders, "Set ye how this son of a murderer have sent to take away my head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he yet talketh with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, "Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What shall I wait for the Lord any longer?" Chapter 7, then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof." And there were 4 leopard men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we should die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syrians, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel, king of the Hittites, and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp, as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the uttermost parts of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried their silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into it again, another tent, and carried this also and went and hid it. And then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called upon the porter of the city. They told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tent as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves to the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which was left in the city. Behold, they are as all multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see. They took themselves to chariot horses, and they took two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king, who went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. As the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, the Lord shall make windows in heaven, and might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people tried upon him in the gate, and he died. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Let's answer these questions, y'all. Okay. Chapter 6, first question. What did the sons of the prophet decide to build for themselves with Elijah? A bigger place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that should be in verse 1, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Of chapter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What happened to the axe head that one of the men was using? And it's in verse 5.
It fell in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and fell in the water. How did Elijah find the axe head? And I really still didn't understand that part, because he said he cut a stick and put it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got verse 6.
He cut a stick and put it down there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why
it was a miracle, I think.
It had to be. How can you do that?
You just threw a stick in there and then the axe head came up. Yeah, that's just some supernatural phenomenon.
Miracles, signs and wonders.
Yeah.
So, number 3, why did the king of Syria think there was an informant among them? Let me see if I got the right verse for it, because... Because
Elisha always knew where he was going to be.
That absolutely right, because I was going to say that, because he was a prophet. What did they think? See, that's the problem now. People think prophets can't see. Prophets can see.
Mm-hmm.
And know, and so he was warning.
Amen.
He was warning them.
Mm-hmm.
How did God defeat the Syrians at Dothan?
Verse 18.
Is it 18? It's verse 18.
He blinded.
That's what I got.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
He prayed unto the Lord and Elijah. Smite these people.
He blinded them and then he took them to Samaria.
He struck them with blindness. That's how he defeated them. They were blind. Okay, the B part of it. Where did Elijah lead them?
To Samaria.
19, Samaria. Okay. What did Elijah tell the king of Israel to do with the Syrians?
Feed them.
Yep, and give them some water. And that's verse. Did I have a verse? I know I just read it. I didn't put a verse down there.
Verse 22.
Okay.
Verse 22.
What did
we always
want to
kill our enemies?
That's right.
Right. Don't give them nothing.
We got to learn not to
don't
do
nothing
right.
For them.
But you know what? That's natural. But you know it's because it was Elijah. But it's natural when you in a war. You don't know if they're going to turn their back or not, but I guess God was teaching them something through Elijah, you know. Okay, which one are we on? Okay.
B clause, number 5.
What did this do between Israel and Syria? What did
the Arameans they didn't bother them anymore. They went on back home and they never bothered them again.
Verse 23.
Kind of robbed people. How bad had the famine gotten in Samaria?
They were eating
the baby.
And it was expensive.
It was funky kids and dub dropping. Remember I read that? They chilled.
That's crazy.
They was eating
each other.
We don't have to do that. Lord, have mercy.
I had never seen that.
She said the women had decided to boil their kids and eat them. And the other
I had never seen that.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. But anyway, chapter 7, we're going to discuss all this stuff when we get to answer these questions. How did God defeat the Syrian army during the famine in Samaria? Yeah, I know they was he caused all that
verse
noise.
Six. Was it verse 6? He made them the army hear the sound of the chariot and the horses.
That's right. Okay, who discovered that Syrians?
Was it the four leopards?
The leopards
that was at the gate.
What happened to an officer of Israel's army during the rush to the spoils?
One got trampled.
Ask that question again.
They got stepped on. What happened to an officer of Israel's army during the rush to the spoils? Syrians.
They got crushed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mob.
It was. Okay. What did this do between Israel and Syria? I didn't even put verse down for this. What did this do because the man got trampled? What did this do between Israel and the Syrians? What did
I didn't
it
get
do?
That question.
Wait a minute.
What, I mean, as far as the relationship between
I'm reading the wrong one. So why? It says the question before that said what happened to the officer, and then this thing said why. So what I got from it, because it was really a hard question for me, it had to be said what happened to an officer of Israel's army during the rush of the spoil of the Syrians and why. So the officer, he got trampled, but why did he get trampled? He got trampled because he doubted the word of Elisha and the ability to let God or that God would help Israel. That was like a judgment on him. That's why he was trampled. And then I never did understand why they kept saying, and I know I'm teaching, but I never did understand why they kept saying about the flower. I didn't get no verse to it.
Everything changed.
It was 17 or 20, something like that in chapter 7.
Okay. I'm sorry. Y'all are way ahead of me because I'm in chapter 6.
You remember when the food was so expensive and everything was happening? So now at this stage, when he started talking about what Elisha had said about the two measures of barley for a shekel, the prices were going to go back down. So it wasn't going to be like it was before where they were having to kill each other, the cannibalism. And so this was God coming in and, changing things. And, as Elisha had said, so it wasn't like it was when they were having to, kill each other, eat each other, and all of that. So now it's going to be back where people can afford to buy the barley and the,
Right. And see, that's why the man got trampled and stumped because he mm-hmm. doubted the word that Elijah had given. He doubted that, and he mm-hmm. doubted also the ability for God to end that famine and to help Israel. Mm-hmm. So, do we have any questions or comments on this thing? Because it almost hit us. Because we in a famine now. Right now. And we trust in God to hold us and keep us. You know that.
Amen.
Just like that. We trust in God. That's the only thing we can do, because you go to the store, you spend $200 and $300 for something you used to spend $100 for. When you got in, yep. it cost almost $15 a case.
Uh-huh.
I just went to, and it's at Walmart. You know, all of it is really expensive. And even, but God, in chapter 6, God will study using Elijah, you know, to do the things that he needed him to do. But when you know, he asked the Lord to open up, because they was wondering how just them little bitty was going to put them. And he was mm-hmm. saying, Lord, open their eyes so they could see.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was said that the mountain was covered with chariots and stuff.
That's chapter
mm-hmm.
6.
Mm-hmm.
May I interject?
Mm-hmm.
May I say something, Apostle?
Yes.
All right. So if we understand the role of a prophet, at this time he just seen something miraculous take place, and now he's coming into his own, and now he's standing mm-hmm. flat and preaching the word of God himself. Now, but what people don't realize, it's not what the prophet Elisha said. You will find this in the book of Deuteronomy. See, prophets are really priests. They learn the law
mm-hmm.
first. So that you learn anything, the first part take that you learn, let's say if you get a job, they take you through what we call training. And through the training, you'll learn the laws, the do's and the don'ts. What to do, how to go, all of that. And the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter and the 56th and the 57th verse, and I'm going to shut up after this, and it says, the tender and the delicate women among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and sensitivity, will refuse to the husband of her bosom and to her son and to her daughter her placenta, which comes out from between her feet and her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of everything in siege and desperate straits in which your enemies shall distress. So this was a distress. They were eating them because of the lack of knowing who God was. They were eating them because of the law. So anytime we think that one man said it in the Bible, actually all he's doing is repeating what he's learned through the law.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I just wanted to kind of interject that, because sometimes we feel, oh man, this is the first time I'm hearing it. No, if we read it, we have to go back to what we call the Pentateuch, the five books, the laws of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
where we understand mm-hmm. Where the law comes from. Now, the book of Acts is a book of law as well, but it's also a book of faith and healing. So mm-hmm. you know, these are books here that are here for us to understand. So when we're speaking, we're not speaking of ourselves. We're speaking the word. All we're doing is just retranslating it, or we're just reiterating it. But
right.
I give it.
But I know nothing. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing.
Amen.
So you, it's the word of God. It's the law. Mm-hmm. I knew.
Yeah.
I think it happened again. You know, they was fighting over the baby. That's what it was. They weren't eating the baby, but it was a famine then, though. It was a famine in the land.
Oh, yeah. As you said earlier, they disrespected the name of God, and that's what it stated there. When you disrespect the name of God, God will send a famine. But in the midst of that, he'll send a prophet to those that are willing to live.
So is that what happened here today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we surely got a famine in the land.
Oh, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. we have new prophets now speaking in the land. That's what you do every morning. The morning you get up, there's a famine. Your job is to speak life back. When we go to work, we're supposed to speak life back. Even when danger is here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't lose it. The Bible said the placenta, and we all know what the placenta is, the sac.
Mm-hmm.
Which everything comes out. And believe it or not, the sac is the nutritious for the baby. So she cuts it as if it was so raw. She gives birth through all of this pain, cuts it, and because she's so angry, she's so frustrated. This is, now believe it or not, this is what animals do. They own children.
Oh,
dogs,
my God.
They'll kill a baby. Yep. If I see you weak, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, okay, because you weak. That's right.
That's right.
And you'll fall prey anyway, so they just take you. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying, when you're in the wild, if they see you're not going to survive anyway, they'll kill you so that, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think in looking in this, mm-hmm. what was really interesting to me was when God really showed the enemy mercy too, because Elisha spoke that they would be blinded, and he didn't, you know, God killed a bunch of enemies, allowed a bunch of them to be destroyed, but in this instance, he redirected them. He allowed Elisha to take them to a different place, and their whole direction was changed. And so instead of, you know, of course, when he blinded them for some reason, and this is probably how we are, they didn't know his voice. And, you know, we should know the voice, you know, of the prophet. We should. But when they were blinded and they couldn't see him, they didn't know his voice. He was telling them where to go, and they didn't realize that the prophet was leading them, you know, all along. And so he took mm-hmm. them to Samaria, but instead of being destroyed, they were fed and just redirected back home. You know, and a lot of times I think, you know, we can, you know, as people of God, we have to use, you know, our influence, our voice, you know, what God has given us. And it can change situations. It can redirect people. It can redirect, you know, things, and, you know, it'll turn out different. And I think that Elisha was using, you know, and strengthening his prophetic, you know, gift along the way, but learning and growing and just seeing how God did things. Kind of, even if you go, like, going into the New Testament where you see Jesus performing miracle after miracle, this is kind of like you see with Elisha, you know, that God was performing miracle after miracle, you know, causing things to happen, you know, from his obedience. Same thing like with Moses, you know, God was performing miracle after miracle. And he does that in our lives, too. He does things, you know, so that we, you know, will become more confident, you know, that when we do speak his word, that when we do go forth, that we will see the manifestation, you know, of his power in whatever the situation is. You know, so there was a confidence that I think Elisha had gotten into and was able to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I like that. I like that. One thing that I realized that It said that God allows invaders. Sometimes we don't look at it. But God allows people. Now, the Bible said that God is not the author of confusion, which is true. But it don't mean that he just because he don't start, don't mean that he don't allow it.
Right.
And that's the thing. How we have to, and I was talking to another pastor about this not long ago. We can't just look at God as being so merciful and so sovereign. We also have to look at that he's jealous. We also have to understand that he's the God of war. We also have to know that he is a very angry God when he gets that way. So, you know, the God of creation, and he's also the best artist I've ever seen in my life. You know, the way that he created things, the way that he put things, he orchestrates things. He's very articulate. He's very military. So when we look at structure of life, we have to look at God at all facets, not just the one that gives life, but also the one that takes life. So when we're looking at God and from a molecular structure, we can't just say that he's a one type of God. And the thing I'm saying is because he allowed it to invade, and I, sister, mother, I don't know your name that just finished talking, but you made some great points because we see here that even when they invaded, God still spared some of their lives to let them know that God saved them, that the God of Israel, the God of the Jews, saved their lives. Now, we realize because they're about to be exiled. They're getting ready to go to Babylon. Or the Babylonians. Mm-hmm. Bible says that they're getting ready to be exiled and come out. So right now, Elijah and Elisha never went to Babylon. They didn't go to that exile. They didn't experience that. So when this is going on, we also got to realize that God is also going to save some people. He's going to save some of our enemies' lives. He's going to keep them around. He's going to bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they bless them, it's going to get saved. They're going to get sanctified. They're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we just don't know how God going to do it.
Yeah. I know it's going to be some enemies because, you know, he'll make your enemies be your footstool. He'll take them enemies too and Prophet Silas said, we be trying to kill our enemies. We be trying to do everything, shoot them, and millimeter everything.
So we supposed to love them and pray for them. Because God can give them another chance to get it right to save them. So that's really good.
Because they're not
another chance.
They're really not the enemy, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so they're not the enemy anyway. You know, so we do have to love them, because it'd be the enemy, the real enemy, to get in people and use people and manipulate and lie and, you know, orchestrate all kind of chaos.
But I'm just, Elisha, God just really, really used Elisha. It was just, the miracle, the way he got that head, that axe head. It was just a miracle. You know, people believe in miracles these days, but God don't ever change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So it's still miracles going on now, you know. Because I'm a living witness. I'm a walking miracle. So I know, you know, and I'm still standing. So, God, you don't have to convince me at all. I already know miracles happen all the time. And people are going to realize that in this family, some people are going to be hungry. I'm just telling you, because it ain't over. It ain't over. I'm just telling you. It's not over yet. And we're going to need Elijah.
I said, this is true. Now, we all do know that Moses and Elijah is coming back. But we all understand that part. That's that revelation. When we get into it, getting ready for that last great war. So that's mm-hmm. why Elijah kept his body, and that's why Moses was giving back his body. So all of these things have to come to pass. Now mm-hmm. I think the thing with me that happens when it comes to church, these are things that we should preach on more
mm-hmm.
instead of teaching it when nobody really comes to Bible study. You know.
Well, even if you preach on it, they're not going to know it because they're not in Bible class.
No, I know that. I get it. Trust me, I know the structure, but what I'm saying is the Bible says preaching in season as well as out season. Not many people preach about Revelation. Not people preach about Daniel, about Isaiah. And these are the two major prophets that Jesus prophesied during his reign here. Well, not his reign, but while he was here in the physical. He talked about mm-hmm. Daniel. Like I said, Jesus ain't said nothing new. He said everything Daniel said and everything Isaiah said, prophets stated. So those of them that knew the law and knew who said what, because everybody had a book and everybody had a word, so they already knew what he was talking about when he stated it and who said it. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to still preach this because this is what the people need. And it's not to scare them, but it is to make them aware. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is fear. When you begin to understand the fear of God, not to be afraid of him, then you'll start respecting the aura of who he is. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. They stop respecting the aura of God. They stop worshiping mm-hmm. and they make idols. And the Bible says this, that when this happened, when this plague finally came, it's because it happened thousands of years. Woo. We may not feel it, but our children are going to feel it, or their children, or their children's children is going to feel the wrath of God because of hundreds of years that have went by that God spared us, as I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the worst is still yet to come.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good. Any questions?
Amen.
Anyone?
I just wanted to talk about the king's officer and how he doubted the prophecy. And, you know, sometimes, you know, and just reading about the king's officer, I'm guessing he was an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and you see how with the Sumerians, with the Syrians, he spared their lives. He gave them
mm-hmm.
another opportunity. But with this guy, God killed him. Because what happened was, see, he had doubted the power of God. He did so
That's
many
right.
things in that statement. He doubted
mm-hmm.
the creativity of God. And then he also doubted the messenger of God. And so we
mm-hmm.
have to be careful when, you know, Elijah started off saying that, here's the word of the Lord. And so we
mm-hmm.
have to make haste to hearing the word of the Lord. The word says, like, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And so the officer was killed immediately. He didn't get to eat. He didn't get to see the prices
right.
and things.
That's right.
He didn't see the marketplace go back to normal. You know, God
mm-hmm.
killed him. So we, you know, we have to be careful, you know. Sometimes, you know, this famine is tough in the land today, you know, whatever's going
mm-hmm.
on, a recession. But we cannot doubt the power of God. We got to know, and we got to stand on the word of God.
Yes,
we got to stand on the word of God. if all we have to eat is the word of God, it's bread. And so we cannot doubt God. And so it just blessed me, you know, to just look into why he just killed him. He gave him no more chance. No sparing. Yeah. Nothing.
I got a question. I got a question, not to get off the subject, but matter of fact, it's still on the subject, but if I may, my question is, what's the difference between knowing and faith? Is there any difference in those two words?
Mm-hmm. Of course it is.
What's the
difference? To me, no, and it's just me, but you can know all day. You can know one and one is two. But faith is different. You know that one and one is two, but faith is something that you can't see. It's like the wind blowing, and you can't see the wind. But knowing
it's
like you know. It's a difference. Like that you know you see the light bulb over here and you know the light is on. But when the light is off, you got faith enough to know that the light gonna come on when you turn it on. You know, it's something that you can't see, but when you know something, you know it. It has nothing to do with faith to me, because you know it.
I believe that. I would say that knowing has to do with the brain or to be made aware of something. So I can know that somebody's in the room. I can, but faith takes other elements. So it takes the brain, it takes the heart, and faith, it affects you in a way that causes you to do something different or it moves you to do something. You know, you can have knowledge of something or know something, but it doesn't necessarily affect you or influence you to do anything. Faith, you know, activates, whereas knowledge can be something you could have a whole lot of and not necessarily move on any of it or do anything with it.
Okay.
So, faith.
I like
can't
that.
See.
Okay.
It's something you cannot see. Faith is.
All right, I like that. I love both of them. I'm show you how the Lord showed me. I'll tell you how the Lord showed me when it comes to faith and knowing. Now, I believe that they do work hand in hand, but first you must use your faith before you can know. It's like, for instance, one of y'all say, "Hey, listen, I'm just coming on to this job. I'm new. Y'all been working there for a while." And the way the Lord showed me was what faith is like, okay, I got to be able to trust you. All right? So I'm trusting you. You get me hired. I'm on. And you ask me, how's the job? Oh, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing. The Bible talks about faith the size of a mustard seed. So faith really is a small thing. It doesn't really have to be a large thing. It's really a small, minute thing, just as that mustard seed is in your hand. Now, I do believe that faith needs to grow. Now, when you grow in your faith, then you're no longer in faith. You're in a place called knowing. Now, I know my job now. I still have faith in it, but I know. So the reason I'm saying it's because when you get into a place of God, we should be into a place where we're past faith. We're past grace. I explain it because it doesn't sound right. But Paul says it like this. He says, if we live right, and I'm paraphrasing it, we wouldn't need grace. If we do the right things, then we wouldn't need grace. In other words, in actuality, faith ain't nothing but insurance. I don't have to show my insurance card every day. I don't get in accidents every day. So that's what faith is. Faith is coverage I can count on. So, you know, if when we have faith, that means, oh, man, whew, I don't really trust this thing, but I'm going to trust it. I don't really know it, but I'm going to trust it. But when you get into a place of God, because Jesus didn't have faith. He was in a place of knowing. He knew who his Father was. He knew his abilities. He knew what he could do. So that, I believe, that we need to grow out of that place of little faith and come into that place of expectations, which means knowing. I'm expecting God to do it because I know he can do it, and I know he will.
Amen. Amen.
The only thing I think would be, only thing I think would be an issue with that would be there is such a secular connotation to the word no. And so the understanding that people have of the word no is so distant from faith.
Yeah.
You know, and so being able to, because even looking at the word no in the Old Testament and the word no in the New Testament, they're, you know, a little bit different. So even like in the Old Testament, the word no is more comprehension, understanding, grasping, you know, whereas in the New Testament, it's more about recognizing or being aware or being, you know. And so I think, you know, like if you, which really I understand exactly what you're saying, it should be in there. Like this is something that is deep, you know, in my being, whereas I respond to it without thinking. So it becomes a part of, so that's, yeah, so like when men know women and they become one, you know, that kind of knowing. So you become one, so, you know, and it's true. I just don't know if people would grasp the concept beyond the word faith because of the way faith describes what we're supposed to do. That takes a real deep level of understanding, which where a lot of people aren't necessarily able to grasp that because of the way we use the word no.
And the way we use faith is, I love that. And here it is, though. If you look at your life, you will see that you're not in a place called knowing. You're just in a place called faith. That means I've trust God a little bit. I'll give God. Have you ever heard somebody say, and I've heard people say this a lot, and I understand what you're saying. That's why I explained it the way I did, so that we would understand what we think about it and then what we know about it. You get what I'm saying? So if it's not resonating, that means you may be still in a small level of faith. So it's not for everybody, and we all know that. You know, everybody's not going to get it. You know, everybody's not that type of person to get it the first or the second or the third time. Some people got to go through 50 times before they actually say, I'm tired and I want to get it now. You know what I mean? So it's a progress. It is a mental challenge. You're going to have to challenge your faith. You're going to have to come up to a place. You know, it's different when you got the money. You can just go get it. You know, then you're praying for somebody to give you the money. And you trust in God for him to pay the bill or for, you know, for your life not to be cut off next week. You know, that those are two different levels that we're living in. You know what I'm saying?
That's good. That's
we're
for
on
me.
The, but guess what, though? We're on the same level when somebody needs a kidney. Hallelujah. And there's no money that can pay for the kidney or for you to skip the line. Now, I need to both. Use my faith and my knowing because now it's challenging both things in my life. I don't care if you're wealthy. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're famous. I don't care if you're poor. And we all got the same different insurances, whatever. Don't matter. If your name is on that list and you last on that list, you are last on that list, and you need God to do a miracle, then I need my faith. I got to exercise that now. But if I've never exercised it, I'm thinking already that we're defeated and this person going to die. I just don't want to say it out loud. That's when the knowing come in. Lord, you did this before. I've seen you work in others, and I need you to work in me. Lord, I need you to do something. I need you to move this mountain. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what these doctors are saying. I don't read doctors' language. I don't know what they're writing. They're not really telling me anything. What's happening with my baby? What's happening with my child? What's happening to my spouse? I need to know what I need to do, what I need to pray. That's a place, or you're going to stay level, small level faith, or you're going to find that and come into a place called knowing. I know God is able.
Yes.
Our faith just has to be challenged.
Yep. That's it. Definitely is. That's good.
Yeah, mine is being challenged right now.
Oh, that's a good word.
I know.
Yours, our.
Yes, ma'am. So I know. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's a good word. Confirmation. Amen.
So we just thank and praise God for Bishop William David.
Amen.
South Carolina. I'm sorry. But this was good tonight. I thank and praise the Lord for the opening up our understanding.
Amen.
We're gonna get ready to close out. So I appreciate you coming on tonight, Bishop. Gracing us with your presence, knowledge. We're gonna get ready to close out because, yes, he is. He's good. We're gonna get ready to close out, and Thursday night we'll have 8, 9, and 10. After 8, 9, and 10, and Carlin couldn't be here because she had to work tonight. So, but God is good. We had a good time. So we're going to get ready to close.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. All right. We thank you for the word of God. Hello? Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word on tonight, God. We thank you for the man of God, and we thank you for everyone that's on here on tonight. Lord, we just give you praise. We give you glory. And, Father, we just thank you that we can apply this to our lives to just live by, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice on tonight, Lord. I ask you to cover and bless them tonight and their families, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be.
Amen.
All right, we're going to get ready to get we didn't stay on. I thought it's been an hour and about almost 10 minutes, so we did pretty good, but we'll see. I'll be on the line in the morning. If God allow me to live and nothing happen, I'll be there. But we'll be right back here Thursday night, okay? God bless everyone.
All right, sounds good.
All right. God bless you all. Have a good night.
Good night.
All
right. Good night. Love you.
Good night.
Love you too.
Have a great night.
All right, you too.